Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening. This is Razia, and I thank you so much for joining me this Sunday evening. I know you could be anywhere else listening to whomever, but you decided to stop by and listen to Razia. I am so delighted about that. So before we get started, we're going to say a word of prayer, and then we're going to get started with what has been revealed unto me. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, O God, for the listeners. We thank you, Lord God, that he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, if I just reach one person tonight, I'm thankful. Lord God, I just thank you that your word shall go forth, and it shall go forth with power and anointing. I thank you, Lord God, for giving us strategies, Father God, to defeat the enemy within. Lord God, I just thank you right now, hallelujah, for your word. For your word is a light, and it's a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our pathway. I thank you, Lord God, for this revelation tonight. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Thank you, and we praise you. Hallelujah. So thank you again for joining me. Tonight, you know what the message is entitled, There is a Mole in Your Home. There is a mole in your home. It may be a new revelation on an old precept, but nevertheless, this is what he gave me tonight. There is a mole in your home. Well, if you look up, let's talk about the definition. What is a mole? We're not talking about the physical mole that's on your face. We're talking about a mole that's undercover. We're talking about, according to the definition, a mole is a spy who achieves over a long period an important position within the security defenses of a country. I'll read that again. A mole is a spy who achieves over a long period an important position within the security defenses of a country. There's also a definition that says a spy, and in parentheses, a double agent who establishes a cover long before beginning espionage. I like that one. It makes it a little clearer. A spy, a double agent who establishes a cover long before beginning espionage. And then finally, there was another one I found, is one within an organization who passes on information, an undercover agent working for someone else. Process that. Understand what I'm trying to deliver tonight. A mole is in your home. A mole is in your home. There's a spy that has become immersed in your life. He wants to know all about you, your likes, your dislikes, what makes you tick, your dreams, your goals. He makes it his business to know everything. But he's playing a dual role. He acts like he's your friend, but all the while he's plotting and planning against you. Yes, my brothers and sisters, he's very cunning. And he's very likable. See, that's the thing, he's very likable. He's always wanting to do fun things. He doesn't force you to do anything you don't want to do. You know, life is good. Everything that he wants to do is fun, good. You're just going to just be content. You're not stressed. None of this. He's very, very fun to have around. He's decided he's going to be closer to you than anyone else. He doesn't want you to feel pain. He doesn't want you to feel disappointed, tired, sleepy, stressed, nothing. He has made it his mission to protect you. He's made it his mission to protect you from all of that pain, disappointment, feeling tired, feeling stressed, feeling sleepy. He's made it his mission to protect you from all of that. This sounds like someone that you really want to be around. This sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? To have a friend like that, or to have someone like that around you who doesn't stress you, who doesn't force you to do anything that you don't want to do, keeps everything away from you that seems not necessary or seems that it's going to cause you some sort of angst. He'll keep it away from you. How does that sound? But nevertheless, he has a duplicitous nature, deceitful nature. He lulls you into this false sense of security. On one hand, he operates like a protector. And on the other hand, he has unwittingly stifled your growth, your future, and your destiny. I'm going to say that again. He has a duplicitous nature. He lulls you into a false of security. On one hand, he operates like he's your protector. And on the other hand, he has unwittingly stifled your growth, your future, and your destiny. This comfortable illusion is all a farce. Because though he has kept you in a state of complacency, he hasn't been able to shield you from frustration. He hasn't been able to shield you from stagnation. He hasn't been able to shield you from delay. He hasn't been able to shield you from spiritual abortion. He has not been able to shield you from weakness. Why is that? I'm going to take it back. We were talking about things in the natural of what a mole is, i.e. spy is, and how they operate in our lives. But let's take it back to see how it first began. When we were young, when we were born, we couldn't talk, we couldn't walk, we couldn't move. So therefore, we learned to cry when we were hungry. We learned to cry when we were in pain or thirsty. Then our parents would come and comfort us to give us what we were crying for. And throughout our lifetime, our parents never wanted us to hurt. They never wanted us to have any pain. They never wanted us to be hungry or thirsty. So therefore, each time we cried, they came to the rescue. And we felt good and safe inside. And that's what really is supposed to happen. But then what happens is as we continue to grow up, the same thing takes place only on a larger scale. We begin to whine and yearn and cry for things because we don't want to feel hurt. We don't want to feel pain. Remember, these are the things that our parents kept us from. So therefore, when we grow up, we still don't want to feel those things. We don't want to feel hurt. We don't want to feel pain. We don't want to feel stressed. We don't want to feel tired. We don't want to feel any of those things. So what have we learned to do? We have an enabler that actually prevents us or tries to prevent us from feeling those very things. Our parents may be long gone, but yet we have a spy amongst us. Who has observed this behavior since childhood. And he knows what makes us tick. He knows what makes us cry. He knows what makes us laugh. He knows the things that we desire. He knows what our likes and dislikes are, even somewhat of our destiny. Because he's so close to us, it's scary. And I'm going to tell you why it's scary. Because many of us have never confronted the mole. Many of us are still trying to figure out why are we at this place in life when we should be further along. I'm preaching to the choir right now because this revelation actually started to come last night into today. And I began to look at this thing called the flesh, the mole, then with us. The flesh was only created to cover the Spirit of God that resides on the inside of us. That was its only role. It was an outer protector, just like a coat we put on in the wintertime to protect us from the cold. The coat just lays on us, our body. It doesn't control anything. Its only function is to provide heat, and that's what it does. But not the flesh. The flesh has its own agenda. The flesh doesn't work for God. The flesh doesn't work for us. The flesh works for Satan. Now, hear me out. You may have thought about that. Remember, a spy, a mole, actually is duplicitous. They're acting like they're your friend. They act like they're necessary in your life, but yet they have a duplicitous nature, but they're working for someone else. Someone else is their boss. but they're around to find out all of the information about you to feed back to their boss. Well, guess what, my brothers and sisters? The mole in our lives is the very covering we have on our body, this thing called flesh. Flesh does not work for us. Flesh does not work for God. Flesh does not work in helping us get to our destiny. Flesh has done everything it can to prevent you, to prevent you from getting to your promise. I'll give you an illustration. If you made up in your mind, and I'm telling you, it happened to me this very last night, because I haven't been consistent, because I like to get up in the twilight hours when there's a lot of demonic activity going on. So I like to pray with my prayer partner and to arrest things throughout the day, things that were planted in the midnight hour to try to sabotage our day, you know, whether it's friends and family, neighborhood, territorial spirit, whatever it is, control of that during those twilight hours, midnight to 3 in the morning or 3 in the morning to 6, trying to get up between those hours. So I told God I was going to be more consistent in that area because I've just been sporadic, hit or miss. And don't you know, I purposed in my mind, I said, okay, I'm tired. But I said, well, God, if you wake me up in the morning, I know you want me to get up because I'm going to start doing exactly the opposite of what the flesh wants. Think about it. Just take a moment and think about your life. The flesh wants you to overeat. What is that going to cause? Going to eventually cause premature death, ultimately. We're not going to go into all the various diseases. It's going to cause premature death. The chest, the flesh wants you to not exercise. It wants you to be obese. It wants you to be unhealthy. You were told and you have in your spirit that you're supposed to write a book, but you keep saying, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. You're supposed to start that business. You say, I'll do it later. I do, and you keep putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. Now you find yourself in your 50s, your 60s, or your 70s because flesh has controlled your every movement since the time we left our mother's womb. From the time we made that first cry and the doctor spanked us, then put us on our mother's chest and held us. From the time our first cry hit the earth, flesh has been controlling us. Even the Word of God tells us that. If you go to, and my computer froze up, I said it's just like the devil working just fine and just froze up. That's all right. I have my notes. And it froze up. I want you to go and read Romans 7 and 14. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. And Paul is talking about the things that I should do, I do not do. And the things that I should not do, I do. I'm paraphrasing right now, but some of you have probably heard this already. But he's talking about the very things that I shouldn't do, I do. Flesh. And the things that I shouldn't do, I do. Flesh. So it's like your mind wants to be led by the spirit, but the flesh wants to be led by the flesh. So therefore, many of us have not seen the promises of God in our lives. Many of us have obtained prophecy and said that we're going to be this and we're going to be doing that. Many of us have these inward feelings on the inside of us that I know that I'm supposed to be doing something and I'm not doing it. Guess what? Guess what's stopping you? It is nothing but, and people say it's the inner you, but I beg to differ. It's not the inner you. It's not coming from your spirit, which is within. It's coming from the flesh, which is without. It's coming externally to control you. It's controlled your getting up in the morning. It's controlled your going to exercise. It's controlled your curtailing your eating habits. It's controlled you starting your business. It's controlled every aspect of your life. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Whenever we give into what the spirit wants, it's never anything, I'm sorry, the flesh wants, it's never anything good. It's going to keep us stagnant. It will keep us mediocre. It will keep the spirit of delay in front of us, just putting things back and back and back. It will keep the spirit of frustration. It causes weakness, and it causes spiritual abortions because You were carrying this baby throughout your entire life, but you never gave birth to it. You never gave birth to your business. You never gave birth to your book. You never gave birth to being that runner or that athlete. You never gave birth to the very thing that you've been carrying since your conception from the foundations of the earth. He says, I knew you. So these things we were carrying even before we hit the earth. That's how long some of us have been carrying some things, me included. Because I've allowed the mole, the spy, that has hung out with us our entire life to dictate what I do, when I do it. And he's done that to many of you. Just look at it. Why is it only what they say, 1% that succeed? Why is that? It's more than just, okay, all of these conspiracy theories. I understand all that, but I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about just focusing on you, yourself, what you control, not externally outside of yourself. There are things, of course, we cannot control in this world we live in. As crazy and chaotic as it is, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what you can control in your each and your everyday life. You can control when you get up. And we're not talking about, yes, God is blowing the breath of life in us. We're talking about when that alarm clock goes at 3 o'clock and you say you're going to pray. You control whether you get up or not. You control when you said out of your mouth, I'm going to go work out at 3 o'clock. I'm going to go work out on Tuesday or Thursday, whatever the day is, and the day comes and goes. You control what you eat and what you don't eat. You control that you turn the TV off and pick up the pen or get the laptop computer and begin to type out that book you're supposed to because you're being selfish. We're being selfish because guess what? Your book isn't just for you. Your book is for someone out there. There's a seed that's implanted in you that book is going to help someone. But we're being selfish because we just will not curtail and defy this flesh and say, nevertheless, I don't feel like it, but listen, I'm going to start doing exactly the opposite of what you tell me, flesh, because you have made me stagnant. You have made me weak. You have made me mediocre. That's what flesh has done to many of us. The mole, the spy that's hung out with us since we hit the earth. Do you understand what I'm saying? The spy, the mole. And this is the remedy. This is very simple. And I just told you. This is the remedy that I'm going to do. Every time I feel like that I purpose to do something and I feel like I don't want to do it, I must do the opposite. If I said I was going to go to the grocery store, see, you have to train this flesh. It's like a spiritual boot camp. You've got to train. We want to train everything else. We want to train dogs. We want to train cats. We want to train husbands and wives. But you know what? We need to train our own flesh. We need to put our own flesh up under subjection. Now I understand what Paul was saying. This flesh will get out of control. You let it do, what it wants to do. If this flesh, if there were no rules and regulations, this flesh would be haywire. Because we barely have people following the rules. So nevertheless, you've got to train your flesh. And how we train it is very simple. Do the very opposite of what it's telling you to do. How many times have you made, if you're a person that attends church and you didn't want to go, but you pressed your way and went anyway, and you said, man, I went. I'm glad I came because that message was just for me. How is it that you did not want to work out, but you pressed your way and you were so glad you did because the endorphins were released and you felt better than when you first left the home? How much more do you feel better and stronger when you have the willpower to put down the chocolate cake, to put down the sweets, to put down the things that are slowly bringing you a slow death? How monumentous is that to show your willpower over flesh?
doing the very opposite. Do the very opposite. Do this very practice every day. Begin taking the small steps. And it'll quicken you because it's quickened me all day long. It's quickened me all day long. I may have been tired, may not wanted to do the show, but nevertheless, I've got to do the show. I've got to be consistent with the show. I've got to be consistent with Instagram. I've got to be consistent with writing the book. I have to be consistent with getting up in the twilight hours and praying and interceding. I'm an intercessor, so guess what? This is my job. I don't have the luxury to get up when it's just comfortable for me. It's not. Do we want God to get up off of his throne when he's good and ready and when he's comfortable? Do we want him to pick and choose when the blessed feels like it? No, he's consistent. The word for 2019 is consistency. This is the word for 2019, men and women of God, is consistency. Violate the prison that flesh has put us in. Violate it. Break the chain. Demolish it. Do the very opposite. Confuse flesh. This is not him. This is not her. She wouldn't just turn off the TV and begin to write. She wouldn't put down that cake. He wouldn't put down that cake. No, they wouldn't pick up any ropes and go jump rope. They know they wouldn't go and go to the gym. They know they wouldn't walk. What are you doing? Confuse the flesh. You confuse the enemy. You confuse the flesh, you confuse the enemy. Remember, the flesh is not working for us. The flesh doesn't work for God. Its job is to keep us stagnant until we leave this earth. And like Miles Monroe said, don't die with God's things on the inside of you. There's much potential in the graveyard. We don't want to be that person. We don't want to be that woman or that man that had all this potential before they hit the earth, but then they died never doing what they were destined to do. We never got to see your book, your play, your business. We never got to see you in a healthy state. For you being large as a child, but you knew that you were supposed to create a regimen to help people to lose weight or whatever it is, to be healthier, but yet you desire to continue to stuff your face. Yet you desire to still sit on the couch. Yet you desire to still watch television instead of working out. Yet you decided to take pills instead of working out and eating right. This is the job of the flesh, i.e. Satan, to keep us stagnant, sick, and not fulfilling the promise of God in our lives, i.e. never fulfilling destiny. Never fulfilling destiny. Like I said, it's a new spin on an old precept, but God gave it to me this way. There's a mold in your hole, and it's called flesh. If you think about it, if you just sit back and think about it, every time that you should have done something, every time you thought about purposing yourself to do something, some of those things that I've mentioned, and they didn't get done, who was rewarded? Not us. You felt even worse. Or you compounded more on you because you said, oh, I'll just do it tomorrow. You had a paper to write. Oh, I'll just do it tomorrow. Now you've compounded stress on yourself because you could have written one page today and you could have written another one tomorrow. All you had to do was write two pages, but you decided you wanted to write two pages the next day. Oh, but you didn't realize, okay, that there was going to be an issue with the laptop. So therefore, had you written it or had you started the page the first day, then you would have realized that there was going to be an issue and you could have addressed it on day one instead of day two. Now you've got a broken laptop. Or now you've got a broken computer. Now you've got, a broken printer. Now you need some ink. Now you've got to write the two pages. Now you're sleepy. Now you're tired because you got to get to work. You see what I'm saying? This is how flesh works, to keep us so bombarded that we're not fulfilling the promises of God. Before we get out of here tonight, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray over you, that you fulfill the promise of God in your life. I know you're frustrated because I am. I know you're tired of being sick and tired because I am. There's too much in me. there's too much in me for me not to be all across the nation. There's too much wisdom in me for me not to be international. There's too much that's been deposited in me that's just stayed with me because I just didn't want to get out there. Or I just didn't want to feel like I wanted to be bothered with all the mess that's in the airwaves. I'll keep it to myself, but God says not so, not so. He's giving you a thick skin. If he hasn't, he's going to give you a thicker skin. Because the message must be released. That's in your mouth or in your hand. This is the reason why you're still here. This is the reason why you have not been killed. This is the reason why, when you should have been dead, you are still here, because you have not released what's in your heart, in your mouth, or in your hand. It's going to come from one or two places, your mouth or your hand. Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Father God, for the listening ear. We thank you, Father God, that this word resonated with the people of God tonight so that they will continue to confront and defy the flesh. Overturn, Father God, the shackles of that flesh has tried to imprison us with. Lord, I just thank you right now for the strength to be able to press on, and each and every person listening to me at the sound of my voice shall press on into their destiny with full force, like a locomotive train that cannot be stopped. You are unstoppable. The flesh will not stop you any longer. I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. Every obstacle that he has presented in your way, whether it's in your mind or whether it's in the natural, I bind it and I cancel every false vision. I bind and cancel every false prophecy. I bind and cancel the psychological limitations that you place on yourself. I bind and cancel every negative thought. I bind and cancel every negative word. I bind and cancel everyone that's around you that doesn't believe you, but they are a sucking leech that's in your life, drawing from the well that God has given you, and now you feel dry every time they're around you. I cut the cord of every demon that's trying to rob you of your life's privileges. I cut it now in Jesus' mighty name. I loose favor over your life. I loose the spirit of God over your life. I loose prosperity over you. I loose time, redeeming the time over you. I grab that for myself. Father, I thank you for redeeming the time over your people tonight. Forgive us for being stagnant. Forgive us for procrastination. Forgive us for listening to flesh instead of the spirit. Forgive us, oh God, for taking the easy way out. God, I thank you that we made a new resolution. For God we live and for God we die. But we shall go forth. We shall get to our destiny. We shall get out the books, the plays. We shall get out the businesses. We shall get out what we're supposed to get out from the foundations of the earth. God, I thank you for releasing it and doing it into your life. Do it into the life of your people. God, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. You go on and give God some praise right now. You go on and tell God and ask him for forgiveness, because he's given us the breath of life, and each and every day we have not done what we're supposed to do. We've been disobedient regarding the destiny, but no longer. No longer. We thank you, Lord. And we bless you, and we thank you. Until we see you, it'll be probably two weeks. I'll see, because I got family coming in. But I may be on Sunday, but no, I heard the Holy Spirit say, I'll be on Sunday. Okay, all right. I'll be on next Sunday. Look forward to the word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.